Take your Bible tonight and let's go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 27, if you will. Acts chapter 27, and I do hope you have your Bible. And you'll turn there with us and we'll read some scripture and preach for just a little while. And I mentioned on Wednesday night, man, the singing really sounded good. But I tell you, I stopped singing this morning and listened. I thought the singing this morning sounded good, all right? He said, what was wrong with tonight? I could hear my brother. No, I was just kidding. Singing's really been sounding good. You know, that's a good thing. God's people ought to be singing people. And we ought to let, you know, there's just something. When you got things right with the Lord, you can sing, you know. And we shouldn't be afraid to do that. Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. I'm going to begin reading there in verse 1. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. We don't know how big his band was. I don't even know what instruments were in it. But I'm pretty sure there weren't any. But verse 2. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go in unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found the ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone. And hardly passed it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phinis and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. We're going to leave off reading there. There's no doubt that the Apostle Paul was a man of God. No doubt whatsoever. I believe he was in touch with the Lord on a faithful daily basis. And he knew what it was to God to speak to the Lord, and he knew what it was to have God lead him. And where God led, Paul was willing to listen and to follow, all right? So it was the way it should be. I just want to draw your attention to verse 10, because in verse 10, the Apostle Paul did his best to warn the masters of the ship and the centurion who was in charge of Paul. He tried to let them know, look, you fellows are about to make a mistake. Somehow God had gotten word to Paul that there was danger in continuing onward with this voyage. Paul says it this way in verse 10, I perceive that this voyage. Now, he didn't get that off a Ouija board, okay? It wasn't from a tarot card reading. It wasn't from gazing into a crystal ball, all right? Wasn't that at all, and you know, it wasn't a result of his intuition. I don't believe it was one of those people talk about just had a gut feeling. I don't believe it was that. I believe it was a result of the intervention of the Holy Spirit warning Paul that, hey, where we're going, things are going to be rough. And because of that, Paul did what he should have done. He tried to warn the others of what was to come. But unfortunately, Paul was met with the same reaction that is so often given to the man of God today, to the Bible preacher, all right? Instead of believing Paul, the centurion believed the owners and the master of the ship. The Bible says in verse 11, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Hey, Paul, you're just a preacher. What could you possibly know about sailing? What could you know about conditions on the sea of the Mediterranean Sea? You don't know anything there. We're not going to listen to you. These are the professionals. We're going to listen to the professional, all right? They were the experts in sailing. So the centurion listened to them. Now, that centurion had no way of knowing the danger that he then placed that whole company, that whole ship in. He didn't. So I want to preach to you tonight just a little bit from these scriptures on the danger in ignoring the man of God. Danger in ignoring the man of God, the Bible preacher, all right? You say, well, what happens when that happens? Well, look, if you will, in verse 9. The Bible said, when much time was spent. When much time was spent. Man, the easiest thing in this world to do is to waste time. I mean, it is there. We're guilty of it. It happens to all of us. We do it. And the devil's always standing by to assure you that, hey, don't worry, you got plenty of time. You've got plenty of time. Devil's always there. You know, if God begins to impress upon you, and the preacher preaches, hey, there's something you need to take care of, you need to do it, and the devil said, not now. Not now. Take your time. You need to think about it. You don't need to be in a hurry. Good lands. You got all your life ahead of you. Especially says that to you young people. You got all your life ahead of you. You don't need to get so fixed on serving God at this young age. Live a little. That's the devil coming along, all right? Hey, you can put off decisions till you're older. You can put off decisions till you're older. Now, some of us are already older. You said, what does he say to us? He said, you've made it so far. You made it so far. And just relax, you know, all right? You know, you need time to think about it. Wait until you're not so emotional. You know, boy, here you are. You're in the preaching service of the Word of God, and your heart's stirred. And, man, you just get caught up with the emotions, you know. And so the devil comes along and said, calm down, calm down. You need to stop and think about it rationally, all right? Hey, all these are to convince you that time's always available. But the Bible preacher is going to tell you just the opposite. As I mentioned this morning, Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The easiest thing in the world for us is always to figure there'll be a tomorrow. There will be a tomorrow. We're all counting on it. Many of you sitting in here, you're saying, well, I'm going to work tomorrow. Or some of you sitting here going, bless God, thankfully I'm off tomorrow and I ain't going to work tomorrow, all right? And you got plans laid out for it. Brother Chester said, I'm leaving town. We've got plans made. We're counting on tomorrow. Nothing wrong with planning, but you better not get to the point where you think it's always going to be there, because there's no guarantee it will be. Take your Bible back to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. You talk about a verse in the Bible that ought to make us just a little bit, you know, worried. Is Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, won't you look at verse 6. It's going to be a verse you said, boy, I've heard that many times. I've heard it read and all of that. But I want you to maybe think about it a little bit differently. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Now, I want to say this to you. That's great advice, but do you realize the implication is there? That the Lord is not always going to be there waiting until you get to the point where you're ready to call? Don't you count and just figure, well, I can always put it off because God's a merciful God. He will always be there ready to listen. He'll be waiting. He is just waiting on me to call. You better be careful. You better be careful because you said call upon him while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. The implication is there's going to come a day where you will call and he won't answer. He won't answer. You say, preacher, I can't worry about that. You might ought to. You might ought to. I've heard preachers refer to something like that and call it sinning away your day of grace. Now, look, you need to be careful. Don't you always think God will be there. God will be there. You get to ignoring the preacher and what the preacher preaches out of the Word of God and thinking tomorrow or next week or a little later in life, you be careful. You be careful. Hey, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:16, we're to redeem the time. Redeeming the time. Why? Because days are evil. Days are evil. We need to be careful that we don't think I have got plenty of time. We need to be careful that we don't get in that deal. Paul here is sailing. You'll notice when it said here, oh goodness, verse 9, now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous. Dangerous. Hey, the truth of the matter is these men that were the sailors, the professionals, the experts, they knew it was late. They knew it was late in the season. But they ignored the warning of the preacher. They ignored that. Why? Because we got time. We've got time. You be careful. When you start ignoring the man of God, you get the idea that, hey, plenty of time. But not only that, I want you to go back there in Acts chapter 27, and I want you to look at verse 10 and 11 and think with me about this, especially verse 11. The centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship. Paul had just told him in verse 10, hey, I just want to kind of give you a little warning. I can see where this thing's not going to come out the way you think it would. And I know we're planning to get to Italy, and that's where you're headed. And I'm going to get my chance to defend myself in Rome. But I just want to warn you that we better not go. We better stop and wait right here. Gave him good advice. But hey, when you ignore what the preacher says, what you're really, it's so easy to do is listen to bad advice. You listen to somebody that comes along. There's always going to be somebody hanging around to advise you to go opposite to what the man of God says. There'll always be somebody there. Hey, there will always be somebody because the world is filled with such experts that they can rattle off the house. So many heathen have managed to get away with doing things their own way. That preacher said, don't do it. You do it that way, you'll suffer. But man, let me tell you about so-and-so. Let me tell you, there's always somebody around to give you those stats. Always somebody. Preacher preaches against something. Talks about joy of the child of God. And they bring out somebody. Here's somebody here that, man, they didn't live anything like what that preacher said. And they have been so happy they're living it up. I submit to you, you better be careful of listening to that kind of advice because you don't know that those people are living it up. You don't know that they're living it up. We see the outside. We see the facade. And then we hear about people that got everything as far as the world considers everything. They've got money. They've got fame. They've got the adulation of people. And they commit suicide. Well, how did that happen? Well, maybe, just maybe, the preacher's right. That there's not that much joy in sin. That there's not that much fun in going your own way and doing your own thing. Hey, the Bible preacher is going to give you the Word of God. He's going to preach you the Word of God. And when he preaches that, he's preaching it not so he can feel like, can I show you how smart I am? You're looking at a guy, he's not that smart. I'm smart enough to believe what God says, though. Smart enough to believe what God says. and tell you that you and I ought to do what God says, and we ought to do it the way he says to do it. We shouldn't listen to the bad advice that's out there. Don't go for that. Man, untold pain and problems could have been avoided if you just take what the Bible says. Just do what the Bible says. Here the preachers preached it. Just listen. Do what he says. Hey, if they had listened to Paul, they wouldn't have lost everything on that ship. They wouldn't have lost it. I mean, they lost their ship and they lost everything that was on it. Now, all of them, if you know the rest of the story later in the chapter, no lives were lost. But there was a bunch of people scared to death, I bet you. They were scared nearly to death. And, they went through a bad situation, right? Hey, there's been tons of people in life that have shipwrecked their lives because they would not listen to the Word of God. Just would not listen to the Word of God that was delivered by a Bible-believing preacher. I couldn't begin to tell you how many people through the years that I've worked with that went through untold pain and suffering and sorrow, miserable. They didn't enjoy life. They could have, but they wouldn't do what they were taught to do from the Word of God. It doesn't mean the preacher was brilliant that came up, because the preacher didn't come up with the plan. I just preached to them the Bible. The Bible. I could talk to you about folks I know that have spent the majority of their adult life in jail, in prison. In prison. Didn't have to do that. Wasn't a requirement. Didn't have to happen. Homes destroyed. Lives messed up. Man, just over and over. I'm thinking right now, people, some I could call a name and you'd say never heard of them, but they've sat in this church. They've heard the Word of God preached, but they got out and they made a decision not to listen to the preacher. They took some real bad advice. Took some real bad advice. Look, the preacher's preaching to you tonight. Why? Because I want you to be happy. Because I want you to be a life, live a life that's fulfilling. Live a life that is satisfying. Live a life where you can look back on it and their only regret is, boy, I just wish I'd have done more of it. I wish I'd have started earlier. And won't be looking back on it and say, man, I wish I'd have done something different. Hey, listen, you're going to hear a lot of bad advice if you don't listen to the preacher. Listen to the Word of God and what's preached to you, all right? But boy, if you ignore it, you ignore it at your own peril. Hey, when you start ignoring what the Word of God says, why don't you look at verse 12? Verse 12. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phinehas, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lie toward the southwest and northwest. Hey, the way that harbor was laid out there, they just thought, boy, it's a lot better. It's a lot more commodious, all right? A lot more commodious. Hey, you say, what was the problem? When you ignore what the preacher has to say, you begin to worry too much about personal comfort and personal. I'm looking out for number one, all right? Looking out for number one. If there's one thing men like today, they like their comfort. We like to be comfortable. They wanted a commodious harbor. That's the desire of man, a comfortable, convenient life. Don't ask me to do anything that's inconvenient. I've got my schedule. Don't mess up my schedule. Don't interfere with it because I've got it laid out. And I can't change anything in it. Hey, that's man. Well, what does the Lord say? You remember that verse where the Lord was speaking? He said, let a man deny himself. Let a man deny himself. I just want to tell you, I don't stand up here and try to preach you an easy life. The truth is, the Word of God speaking to us from God says to us, what you need to do is you need to sacrifice. There ought to be some sacrifice on your part. He demands you give up your own desires to obey Him. But at the same time, if you serve Him, you'll find that your desires are changed. You'll find that you want to do right. I'll never forget talking to a fellow one time that said, we were talking about the subject of eternal security. And this guy said, man, if I believe what you did, I'd just go out and do anything I wanted to. I said to him, that's exactly what I do. I go out and do whatever I want to. But God's intervened on the wanter. He intervened on that, all right? So what I want to do is make Him happy. What I want to do is serve Him. The world looks at, especially in Fort Worth, we have got more beer joints, honky-tonks, and, you know, here we are, we're out in the West where Amon Carter Sr. said this is where the West begins, all right? And we've got that tradition of the saloons, and you go into Fort Worth, and there are a ton of them. Said, how many you been in, preacher? None. I never have wanted to. I've never had this insane desire. Bless the Lord, I just wish I could get drunk. Never wanted to. But I've talked to a lot of people that have. And that's one thing that's helped me for not wanting to do it. I've listened to them and I've heard them tell the stories. And I said, man, I came back to my car and everybody with me had thrown up in my car. I said, made that night fun, didn't it? Oh, listen, we're the nuttiest people in the world. People are so dumb. They go out and in the sake of having fun one night takes them 2 days to recover. Man, what's wrong with us? Hey, what the Bible says is, hey, you deny yourself. You take up your cross. You follow me. That's what the Lord says to us. You follow me. Don't live your own way. Don't worry about your own comfort. Let me take care of you. Hey, you'll never do much for God if you're so concerned about yourself and your own comfort. If you're concerned about your convenience, you'll never do much for God. It's just not going to take place. You got to be willing to give of yourself. Now, the preacher preaches that, but we easily ignore that. We ignore that. Well, preacher, I've just got one life to live on this earth. Yep, me too. But I got a long time to live in glory. Long time to live in glory. Want to be able to live without a regret. Without a regret. The only regret I want to have is, Lord, I sure wish I'd have done more for you. I sure wish I'd have done more for you than what I did. Not just taking advantage of my own comfort. Listen, I just want to tell you something. The truth of the matter is, I've got a recliner. That thing loves me. I mean, I get in it, I'm happy. I can pull that gear shift over there, get my feet up, my head back, and life's wonderful. But I don't want to sit there all the time. Don't want to. My wife said, you must. But anyway, don't want to do that. Hey, God's called us. God's called us to serve Him. Hey, too much emphasis on your own comfort. That's what they were worried about there. Hey, we could make it in this harbor. Paul, you said that much damage is going to come, but and we could make it in this harbor, but if we just go a little bit further, we could just get a little bit further over there. We get finished. Man, it's such a better place, a lot more commodious, and we could winter there in more comfort than we can right here. But it doesn't end there. Would you go to verse 13? The Bible says, when the south wind blew softly, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, Loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Hey, they were fooled by the circumstances. Fooled by the circumstances. Can I say this to you? The devil is a master at making things look good and making sure that you see it. He's a master of making his business look good, making that temptation look so good. He's been doing it ever since the day of the Garden of Eden when the Bible said Eve looked and she saw that the tree was good for food. And boy, I tell you, things went downhill from there. But it looked good. It looked good. Samson went down to Timnath and he saw a daughter of the Philistines. And he came back and told his dad, get her for me. And they said, man, why can't you take a wife of your own people? And he said, you get her for me. She pleases me well. Don't worry about what the Word of God says. She looks good. I think I'd have a good time with her. I believe she'd be the one for me. You get her. Why? Looks good. Looks good. We're the goofiest people in the world. We look at things and think because they look good, they are good. They are good. You ever been in, it's amazing today how realistic that we don't see it like used to be because styles have changed. But they fruit, you know, that was fake fruit, you know what I'm talking about? You have a bowl sitting on the table and it's only for decoration. But boy, it looked real. I never saw a blemish on any of those apples. Never saw a blemish on them. And there was never a little cut place. There was never a bruise on those apples. They always looked perfect. Try to eat one. Try to eat one. I don't know. I remember in the days gone by of going to a cafeteria, which is almost non-existent nowadays, but the cafeteria, and I remember going down the line and getting to the dessert section. And man, you'd look at it, and it looked so good. It was amazing how well. But I don't know how many times I'd get a piece of pie. It's usually a piece of pie. And once I stuck it in my mouth, I thought, this ain't as good as it looked. Just not as good as it looked. It just didn't satisfy. It just didn't do the job. It looked better than it was. We ate at a restaurant today, and I thought about that, looking at the pie. They had pie laying in there. He said, what'd you get, preacher? None, all right? Because I figure it looked better than it was going to taste. Hey, but the devil's a master at making sin look good. He's a master at making it look good. Look like, boy, this will be good. This will be fun. You won't regret doing this. You go right ahead and do that. Any Bible preacher, those going to come to you and say, hey, we're to walk by faith, not by sight. We're to walk by faith, not by sight. Hey, you can't always trust what you see in the world. Can't always see. You can't always trust what you see. You've got to be careful, all right? You need to learn to trust the one who is unseen, but he's always present. That's what we need to trust. We need to trust what he says, not what we see. We're commanded to check things out, you know? Look into it. Investigate. Don't just go by sight. Don't just go by sight. Man, we're to look into that. We see things that are put before us and they look like can't fail. Can't fail. Have you ever heard a timeshare presentation? Every one of them ever been to sounded convincing. They sounded good. They sounded good. Years later, I hear advertisements on the radio. Hey, we can get you out of your timeshare agreement. Those things you didn't think about, now they're coming back. And we know how to get you out of that. I wonder how much it costs to get out of it, you know? Just there it is, you know? But we see things. They look good. Those pyramid scheme programs that they come into and you get invited to that meeting. This is a wonderful opportunity. absolutely wonderful opportunity. And if you'll just get involved, before you know it, the money will be rolling in. And you will be rich. And here's the testimony. Look, here's so-and-so and so-and-so. What a beautiful couple they are. Here's a picture of their home, their boat, and their new cars. And they got it all using this method. Boy, it looks good, doesn't it? Hey, the devil's able to make things look good. You said, preacher, are you saying the devil's behind timeshares and behind multi-level marketing? No. But I'm saying to you, God warns us about just going by sight. God warns us. Can I say this? You and I are to live in spite of circumstance. In spite of the circumstances. We're to live in defiance of the storm. We're to live above the world. That's where we're to live. We're not to look at the circumstances and say, I can't do it. No, we're to do it in spite of the circumstances. We're not to quit because of the storm coming. No, in defiance of that storm, we're to stand. We're to live above this old world. Ah, man, you ought to be holding to the hand of the one who's never failed, never will fail. And that's what the Bible preacher preaches to you, and he tries to get you to get in on it. But our problem is we waste time. We listen to bad advice. We get too focused on our own comfort, doing our own thing, and then we get fooled by all the circumstances around us. Hey, that's what happened. They sailed, verse 13, they sailed close by Crete, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon, or Euryclidon, or however how you want to pronounce it. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind, basically they said, we just turned her loose. Let her take her way and go where she wanted to, that old ship. Hey, the Bible preacher gets up. Can I say this to you? Don't ignore him. Don't belittle him. Don't cast aside what he says. Don't debate what the preacher preaches to you if it's out of the Word of God. Believe it. Put it into practice in your life. If he's preaching you the Bible, then do it or run the risk of shipwreck. Now, you got a choice, all right? You got a choice. You say, preacher, you're just up there padding yourself, making sure you can. No, I'm trying to keep you out of shipwreck. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to give you that opportunity to live your life, and down the road in your life, you can look back and say, sure, I'm glad I listened to what the preacher said. There's some of you here can bear testimony both ways. You can say, I'm glad I listened to him, and then others, you can go back and say, I wish I had of. Same fella, hey, I just made the mistake back there. And I messed up. Well, you don't have to do that, all right? You don't have to do that. We think, well, no, it's just one thing. No, it's not. Take what God says and live by the book. Do what he says. You'll come out of this thing, man, happy, having a good time. You can be like Paul when you get to the end of life. Hey, you don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be an evangelist. You can live by this book and obey what God says, and you get to the end of it and say, you can be able to say, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and the Lord's got that for me. You don't have to be a missionary to do that. You don't have to be beaten three times, all right? You don't have to be shipwrecked. You just need to do what God says. You can come out of that thing smiling, happy. Everything's good. Everything's good. But it's up to you. You can do what the centurion did. You say, I'm doing what that preacher says. He's not an expert on everything. I'm going to listen to this guy over here who knows what it is to sail this ship. Boy, if you just listen to what God says, you wouldn't shipwreck that ship. You could keep it sailing. You could keep the sails headed in the right direction. Hey, storms come. Didn't say the storm wouldn't come, but you got help in the storm. Got help in the storm. Oh, listen, I'm just pleading with you. Don't ignore your preacher. Don't ignore the man of God. Listen to Bible preaching and say, I'm in. I'm in. I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to do it. If you would, You'll find out everything preacher's preaching is true. You'll find that out. But it's up to you. It's up to you. You say, well, I just want to try a few things myself, not me. I watched other people do things I thought happened to them. It'll happen to me. I ain't doing what they did. Not going to do it. Just not going to do it. How about you? Heavenly Father, I pray now you'd help us tonight. Lord, help us to understand. You've given us the preacher. You've given us the evangelist. You've given us the man of God for our benefit, our help. Lord, you've given somebody that'll watch for our souls. And Lord, I pray we'd have the good sense to listen to the preaching of the Word of God, to tune in and say, I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to do what the Bible says, because what he's preaching is what the Bible says. Lord, I pray you'd help us all to live so one day we could look back on life and say, no regrets. No regrets. Only regret, Lord, I just wish I'd have done more for you. Would you help us tonight? Lord, help us to use the invitation. For in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand tonight? We sing page 403, Pass Me Not, O Gentle.